Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So the betting markets want you to believe that this race is already over in New Jersey and in New York and in Virginia, too. But it's a scam. You got to know it's a scam, and you got to understand the process behind the scam. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Jack Cittarelli within 1 point of striking distance, but so is Mikey Sherrill. This race is going to be 1 point. It is going to be, I think, the closest race in gubernatorial history since Tom Kane's victory in 1981. That's my prediction on this. It's going to be that tight. And so that means that if you are a Republican, you need to vote. If you are an unaffiliated voter and you've had it with Democrats, you need to vote. And if you're a Democrat and you realize that this party's gone freaking nuts and you don't recognize it anymore, then you need to vote, despite whatever you're hearing. And the reason why I bring up the betting markets is that I have a very good friend, smart guy, is a finance guy, and he told a friend of mine recently that, well, it doesn't matter how many people vote because these betting markets show Mikey Sherrill's going to win. It's like 88-12, and they're never wrong, these betting markets. They're never wrong. Now, first of all, he's right in the sense that they've been right so far, but he's wrong in the sense that they can't ever be wrong. And as you dig into a little bit about the money, yeah, there are people on there making legitimate bets, no doubt about that. But there's also a lot of money that flows into these betting markets from offshore. And the question is that done for a purpose that is political? Is there actually a reason why, say, China would be pumping money into betting markets? Well, consider that Mikey Sherrill has taken a ton of cash from a very powerful Chinese businessman with direct links to the Chinese Communist Party. Close to, I think, $50,000. Consider that. Between the PAC and direct donations to Mikey Sherrill, is there an interest for China to have Mikey Sherrill win the race for governor of New Jersey? Absolutely, there is. Mikey Sherrill is much more likely to do the kind of green energy nonsense that China wants. Why would China want that? Because China makes the solar panels. China makes the windmills. China makes those wind turbines. China makes the batteries for all these electric vehicles. Rare earth minerals that come from China until we can get these deals with the president. And he deserves a tremendous round of applause for his work in opening up these new agreements with other countries for those rare earth minerals and also opening up our ability to get them right here in the good old U.S. of A. China would love to see a Democrat. Democrats are the party of central planning and the party of censorship. And yeah, no, China doesn't want Jack Cittarelli in there. If Jack Cittarelli becomes governor, he's going to reopen all those coal-fired power plants Murphy closed. Offshore wind is dead. The state's not investing in solar. He's already said, I'm not going to tell you what kind of car to drive. The electric vehicle mandate that Murphy put in by 2035, that's over. That's done. Do you remember the time that guy said it would be a bloodbath? And they tried to suggest that Trump was saying that there'd be a bloodbath. And he was talking literally about the Chinese electric vehicle automaker guy who said that, because the point was we're going to flood the United States market with electric vehicles. And the media, of course, took it. It was another hoax. Trump wants a bloodbath in America. Remember that whole thing? China absolutely does not want Jack Chidrelli to win the race for governor. New Jersey is a huge economy, a lot of investment potential. Just the wind turbines alone along the Jersey Shore, you're talking about not like five or six, you're talking about 5,000 or 6,000 of these things up and down the coast of New Jersey, up and down the coast of the Atlantic. So Virginia, too. Think about Virginia. They have a big incentive to want Abigail Spanberger to win that race and not Winsome Earle Sears, because these wind turbines would go, if they have their way, they'd go from all the way up from Maine down to the closest red state they could get until that red state says no. And they'll wait. They'll wait till President Trump's out of office. They'll buy time if they have to. Like, they don't mind. But they make them. There's a lot of Chinese groups that invest in them. There's a lot of Chinese capital behind this. So make no mistake, they have an incentive here beyond just some guy who's worth millions of dollars who drops $1 million on the race because he's bored. And that's what he does. And there are people that have that kind of money. And that's their pastime. They just bet on things and they bet on politics. Why not? A guy looks at it, he goes, oh, it's a safe bet. So now if that guy's a legit gambler, I mean, legit in the sense that he doesn't have another ulterior motive, he wants everybody he knows to know what those odds are so that his candidate wins and he makes money, obviously. But for these other groups that are investing in all these poly markets and these other areas, what's their objective here? New York Post reporter Lydia Moynihan, New York Next, my buddy, and she'll be on the show tomorrow. But I want you to hear this now. This is cut number 7. Take a listen. Sorry, Sean, are you there? I don't think Sean, you got cut number 7.
And media coverage was biased. Prediction markets promised to be technology's answer to flawed polling, offering real-time data and financial incentives. But that new technology has also made it easier for major players to manipulate public perception, raising concerns about what amplifying that information could mean. Now, I have been surprised over the last few weeks and months that despite polls at times showing Cuomo inching ahead, like today, the betting odds on platforms like Polymarket and Kalshi have stubbornly shown Mamdani leading with, in some cases, nearly 95%. No headlines or photos with terror sympathizers, candidates dropping out like Eric Adams, or poll has changed that. Now, on Polymarket, which isn't technically able to operate in the U.S., though that is about to change, and many do get around it with VPNs, betting appears to be dominated by a few whales, and new information we reviewed suggests actually a large amount of that money is coming from questionable sources in China and the Middle East. Now, users don't have to disclose their real names, but the platform's blockchain-based system makes all trading activity public. Positions, betting amounts, trading history, and account creation. One account that goes by www2 that joined last month has spent over $1 million betting on a Mamdani victory, according to a review of the website. For context, the average bet that a Polymarket user places is between $10 and $50. Those high odds of a Mamdani victory have been on full display, with New Yorkers seeing ads for Kalshi, Polymarket, and the like amplified across main thoroughfares like Times Square and Penn Station. So what does it mean for conceivably hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers to get blasted on their commute with the odds of a Mamdani mayoralty at north of 90%? And could the sheer volume of foot traffic in front of those signs potentially shape how people are prioritizing voting and who they are voting for?
She also sat down with Charles Gasparino to break this down, and they had a good conversation about it. They also talk about blockchain in this. Cut number 8.
I've been doing some reporting on the prediction markets. And last year, there was a lot of interest in this.
Kalshi
and Polymarket are the big two at this point. Now, Kalshi is approved and allowed to operate in the U.S., and American citizens are allowed to place bets. Polymarket, on the other hand, is not. And so I've been doing kind of a deep dive into where all of that money is coming from. Now, some people can use VPNs to sort of get around the rules because U.S. citizens aren't allowed to use it. It's not regulated in the U.S. The median bet, though, is typically between $10 and $50, right? It's kind of like people just paying attention, seeing where it's going to go. Well, with the Mamdani mayoral bet, basically betting that he's going to win mayor, there are people making multi-million dollar bets on this.
And coming from overseas.
Overseas, the Middle East.
It has to be.
This is actually very interesting. Because the blockchain is this immutable ledger, you actually can trace back where the money is coming from.
And it's the Middle East.
And it's primarily the Middle East.
Now, here's why. Let's just unpack this a little bit, because I think this is what you're suggesting, is that we have these foreign actors who want to sway public opinion in the U.S.
And now journalists, I mean, I look to them. A lot of people look to them.
But by having us report that Polymarket says he's a shoo-in 90%,
yeah,
therefore don't even go out and vote.
Exactly. How does that influence public perception if somebody, everywhere they look, and there are ads for these prediction markets in Times Square, in Penn Station, how does that influence somebody when they're on their commute and they're like, oh, it's 95% chance that Mamdani is going to win? Yeah, screw it. I don't need to go to the polls.
Now, in 2021, the poll showed that Murphy had a double-digit lead over Jack Cittarelli. 400,000 Republicans stay home. Jack loses by 85,000 votes. This time around, the polls show it's a 1% difference. The race is tied, and whoever wins is going to win by 1%. Which I think makes Bill Hemmer's prediction come true. 1%. I think it's going to be that close. Now, why is it then that on Polymarket, Mikey Sherrill's odds of winning are 86% and Jack's odds of winning are only 16%? Why? Now, with all the money that's been invested so far by people placing their bets, those people want to cash in. They want to win, right? They want to win. They want to make their money. Obviously, everybody who does bet wants to win. That's the goal of placing a bet. But what if you are these other groups that Lydia is talking about, Middle East, China, and they're placing this kind of money in the market here? They may not care if they win in terms of the money, but they do care about the outcome. So then they want to make sure that everybody knows what the odds are. And this is the point that Lydia was making about the billboards in Times Square. But word of mouth is also very powerful as well. And I can tell you, I've had no less than 12 people in the last week bring up the betting market to me. 12. Because I count every time. And I every time it's the same conversation with them, I tell them, yes, I know that these betting markets have always been right in the past, but that doesn't mean they're not due for a correction here. Doesn't mean they're not due for a loss. But the goal of the betting market is to spread that on social media so that everybody sees what those odds are, so that two things happen. Number one, if you have some money and you want to bet, you figure Mikey Sherrill's a safe bet, you throw down some cash. Or if you think Jack Cittarelli is going to pull it out, you throw down some cash. But that's targeting people that just want to bet like this is a sport. You bet on an Eagles game or something like that, or a prop bet or something. The other people that have already invested so much money in this want to make sure that Mikey Sherrill wins so they get paid, and also so that Mikey Sherrill delivers on the policies that they want her to deliver on. So they're going to make sure that everybody knows these odds. And somebody said on Twitter, they said, or X, Polymarket doesn't care who wins. They just want the VIG. That's true. They don't care, but they're happy to let people know what the odds are, so that more people place bets, so that they get more money and get more of a VIG. The people who are betting, however, they want an outcome. What I worry about on election day is I worry about somebody driving home, stuck in traffic, had a long day, annoyed with their boss, annoyed with a coworker, whatever. Kids' soccer game is running late. And guys like, I got 10 minutes to make it to the polls. Out of the hell with it. You know what? That Polymarket, it's never wrong. Says Mikey Sherrill's going to win, 86% chance. What's the point? Goes home, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then Mikey Sherrill wins, and then the betting markets can turn around and go, oh, we were right again. Now, I'm not saying that that's what the betting market's going to do in terms of a press release. I'm saying that metaphorically, but the self-fulfilling prophecy becomes, oh, well, once again, they accurately predicted better than the polls could who was going to win this race. And that becomes a story. So then next time around, when they start doing the placing the bets on the midterm elections, and you start looking at these things, you go, well, you know what? This is the most accurate predictor of politics, without thinking, to Lydia's point, how much overseas money might be being put into that race to manipulate an outcome. Because if even one person stays home in a very close election, you know, it's not ever just one person. One person equals usually like 100 people. So that means then that in a race that comes down to 1%, you might get tens of thousands who stay home, who otherwise might have voted, had these betting markets not been around. And the point is that you have to tell them, if they bring it up to you, don't believe this crap. Don't believe this. They are manipulated by foreign currencies. They're manipulated by foreign actors, and they want an outcome. And yeah, they would much rather see a Democrat win than a Republican. They'd much rather see Mamdani win than Cuomo or Sliwa. Obviously. Mamdani would be a gift to these Middle Eastern countries. Are you kidding me? Think about it. These Middle Eastern countries that hate Israel, that are pumping all this money into the race, into the betting markets, who want people to then see what the odds are, and they spend money advertising on billboards in Times Square so that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, the question you might ask me is, well, Rich, then wouldn't there be an incentive for Mamdani voters to sit this one out knowing their guy's got it in the bag? That's not how politics works. Politics works where you either vote for somebody or against somebody. That's how, now I know it sounds kind of simple, but think about it. Many people voted for Donald Trump. I was one of them in the last election. A lot of people voted against Donald Trump. They were not voting for Kamala Harris. There are going to be a lot of people who vote for Jack Chiarelli. They're very excited to vote for Jack Chiarelli. They're not voting for Mikey Sherrill. They're voting against Donald Trump in this election. But Mamdani, they're voting for him. They're excited to vote for him. And when you think your guy's going to win, when you think your guy's going to win, you get excited and you are much more likely to vote. That becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's very rare. And I'm not saying it hasn't happened, so you don't have to tell me. You don't have to send me a link to some time. I'm not saying it's never happened, but it's very rare in politics where when a front runner is expected to win, his people or her people stay home because they thought he had it in the bag. It's happened, but it's rare. It's much more likely that when they think the candidate's going to lose, they stay home. Because there's a psychological dissonance that occurs in politics where if at the end of the day you think your guy's going to lose, you begin to almost mentally distance yourself from that person. And you start to come up with all kinds of ways, reasons to justify not voting. And you're like, well, he's going to lose anyway. You know what? He wasn't that strong on this. He wasn't that strong on that. Should have fought harder on that. It's a blue state. Whatever. And you start giving all these kind of excuses. And I've seen people do this before. I've seen people do this before. When you think your person's going to win, you don't want to miss out on that. You don't want to miss that. You want to be there for it. We all want to be there for the Super Bowl parade, right? We all want to watch. If we think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, we want to watch the Super Bowl. We don't want to miss it. If we're down 40 points in the third quarter, that's when you start going past the pigs in a blanket and get another beer. I'm going home. When you think victory is yours, you want to be part of it. It's the same thing in politics. You're much more likely to vote if you believe your guy can win. And this is why I say to you all the time, it's essential that you vote for that very, very reason, because you have to understand that there are Republican voters out there who are going to hear this stuff and think to themselves, man, no matter what, it's still Jersey, it's still blue, we can't win. You remember in 2023, how many people said that about Trump in 2024? They said he can't win. They're going to steal it. They're going to cheat. They're going to do all these things. And we had to work really hard to change the perception of that so that people would trust the process and vote and wait in line for hours and hours. That's the other thing on election day. I don't know how long you might be waiting in line. And of course, you remember the time the president called into this show, this radio show, the only show he called into on election day, this one, and told everybody to wait in line, because I asked him to. Well, I told him to tell everybody to wait in line, and they did, and you did, and he won. You did that, and it could be the same thing in New Jersey. And what you don't want to have happen is a situation where people are waiting in line for 2 hours because the polling place and whatever and it backed up, and the people go, the betting markets, the hell with it, and walk away. What you need to do is to make sure people understand how these things are manipulated. Because it's the only thing left. It's the only thing left to give a Republican the cognitive dissonance needed to not vote on election day or vote early. We've dealt with overcoming the they'll steal it attitude because we're smarter now. We've got election monitors in place. We've got federal monitors in place. We've beaten them at their own game with that. We've overcome that. We've overcome the polling issue now because we got rid of that crook Patrick Murray and the Monmouth Institute, and they're gone. And legitimate polling sites are now showing the races in one is within strike 1%, striking dead even heat, and that's the end of it. So literally the only thing left to keep somebody home, betting markets. That's it. Your job is to be an evangelist. Excuse me. Having a tough time talking today, which is helpful since my job is to talk. This is cut number six. Jack Cittarelli talking about the endorsement from Democratic mayors. Take a listen.
Out. As you said, we just finished our second of six different early voting rallies all around the state. Today is the first day of early voting here in New Jersey. All I could say is the energy is electric. The reception in minority communities has been overwhelmingly positive. And when Democratic mayors are endorsing the Republican nominee, it tells you how badly people want change. We've racked up at least 12 Democratic mayors that have endorsed me.
Yeah, and she racked up a Democratic socialist and someone who can't reject the phrase globalized intifada, and she can't distance herself from that. I find that to be striking. You know, Jack, as I look at this and this tele-rally call you had with President Trump.
DeSantis, you're texting me and asking what now?
I was just saying, I have you referenced your election night interview with President Trump, where he implored people to stay in line and vote. And I have it if you'd like to relive election night magic.
I would love that, actually. Let's go down just memory lane and do it.
Full disclosure, I'm starting the conversation off at the point that I found best. But your point will be made in this this 90-second clip, so just enjoy.
Country, right?
And we got a frack.
We got a frack. You know, what I'd love to do, I'd love your ratings to go down to zero, and I'll make out up to you, but I'd love everyone to get off the phone and run down and vote and let your ratings go to zero for an hour.
That would work for me.
I think you'd give that up. I think you'd probably say that's a good deal. But, if anybody, the people, you have a hell of an audience, by the way, but if anybody gets off the phone, we will not be angry at you, right?
Not at all. No, we got you, Mr. President. We got your back, and people are excited to vote for you. And everybody who's in line.
If we win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal, Richard.
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, tell everybody who's staying in line to stay in line.
Everybody has to stay in line. Thank you. We're going to make this country greater than ever before. But you have to stay in line. And don't let them slowball you. You have an absolute legal right. And get that vote in, because if we win Pennsylvania, if we win the good old Commonwealth, we're going to win the whole thing. We win everything. So
I'm just realizing, Matt, he has yet to make it up to me. Just saying.
Well, we've been to the White House several times now. I guess, yeah, I mean, you did hand deliver in Pennsylvania. I believe it was the interview that put him over the top.
Yeah, because imagine if people had not stayed in line that night. Just saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And our ratings went to zero, I think.
I figured you would just play that part because that's your favorite part.
The only reason I, spent the time hunting this clip down and prepping it for this segment is because I thought, it's a good excuse for me to play President Trump saying that he hoped Rich's ratings went to zero. It is my favorite clip of all time.
It's Swalwell.
Those are my. It's 1-2. It's close.
And normally you just play it completely out of context, making people believe that the president of the United States just said, "I hope your ratings go to zero."
Well, it is what he said.
Right, but that's not the context. If you say it out, play it out of context, and people don't know why he wants my ratings to go to zero. They think he hates me or something.
That's why I play it out of context.
Yes, I know, and this is why Linda Kearns' lawsuit is doomed to fail for this exact reason. Because I'm defending myself every time I'm mean to you. Which I'm not admitting I'm ever mean to you. I'm just simply saying that
sounds
if somebody
like
perceived it, that was not an admission. I want to make that point very clear on the legal record. If somebody thought so, it's actually self-defense. All right?
Self-defense meanness. That's yes. That's an interesting take.
Go ahead. Play your favorite part. Go ahead.
All right, I got to cue it up. Give me a second here.
And while you're doing that, I'll remind you, we'll be in Cape May tomorrow. We'll have a great time. It'll be a wonderful show live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, 3 to 7 p.m. Come and join us tomorrow for a wonderful show live in person. All right, you got it?
Down to zero. Yeah. We got a frack. You know, what I'd love to do, I'd love your ratings to go down to zero.
See, now, if you just play, if you stop
day.
It there.
Clear's
then,
day.
If you stop it right there, yes, people think, like, what did Rich do to Trump? Like, why does the president want... Like, I thought they were tight. Backed him in 20... Was he... What is like, debate prep code? Like, what was... What's up with this guy? So you got to hear the whole context is my point, and you love just playing that little snippet.
Here, I'll play the full context.
We got a frack. You know, what I'd love to do, I'd love your ratings to go down to zero.
That's where the interview ended.
That's just outrageous. By the way, you know what I just did to Dave Skopanich, our vice president of sales, when I saw him in the bathroom?
What's that? Yeah. Oh, what? Okay, go on.
So I was at the urinal, and I was standing there, and then I was done with my business, you know? I zipped up, he walked in, and as I was walking towards the sink, and he was passing me, I slapped him on his back. And he turned to me and said, oh, no! No! I gotta burn this whole shirt now! And he's right. I can't believe I did that. I touched him with my unclean hands. I owe him a shirt.
That's repulsive. Ugh.
I owe him a shirt. I touched a man before I washed my hands in the bathroom. There's no touching in the bathroom. There's no contact in the bathroom until hands are washed. Or actually ever. There really should be no contact ever. I don't know what I was thinking. But you know what it was? I started to do the back slap, which is my thing. And then my arm went, and you know, and I couldn't pull my arm back. It went, it was like, no! And I saw it in slow motion going towards him. I couldn't pull it back. It was too far. I was like, no! And then contact. Boom. And then he turned in slow motion and went, no! What did you do? What did you do? So I owe him a shirt. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm tired today. That's the problem. I'm tired and I'm not thinking straight. Sorry, Scope. Pick out a shirt and give me the bill. Or how about I just pay for the dry cleaning? Nope, dry cleaning won't do it. Dry cleaning won't do it. That shirt has to be burned and incinerated, and that's it. I have to get a new one. Now, there's no dry cleaning. It's like when Costanza brought the book into the men's room at the bookshop. You can't sell it after that. You know what I mean?
You can't
sell it. That's got to be just... Psh, so... All right, let me tell you about...
I was going to say, I'm going to have to ask Sean to grab this audio for me because I know HR is going to ask for it later.
Well, that's what he did. He did threaten. He said, right, yeah. He goes, I'm going to HR. I'm going right to HR after this bathroom encounter. I said, all right, fair enough.
Makes sense.
Imagine this, all the things I've done at this radio station, and that's what I get fired for. And I'd be totally within, yeah, no, that is an absolutely with cause justifiable firing. And no doubt about it. With cause, no severance, you're out, you're done. You backslapped another man in the bathroom before you washed your hands. You're gone. So, I own it. All right, listen, let me tell you about my great friend, Dr. Mike Veneria. Let's talk about your health. Let's talk about your smile for a second. You need to undergo complex dental surgery. Let's say you're talking, I don't know, implants, crowns. You're going to go to just, what, any old dentist, the closest dentist, some chain dental office? No! You're going to go to the guy who the other dentists send their patients to. That's right. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. He's my guy. He's my dentist, and he's the undisputed master of complex dental surgery. If a dentist says, I can't do this, but I got a guy for you, and I'm sending you to Dr. Mike Veneria, that means he's putting his name on the line for Dr. Mike. That shows you the level of trust and experience and expertise that Dr. Mike has. Because I'm not going to just recommend any old dentist. I'm going to recommend the best. That's why he is the best. And just so you know, my wife, Bridget, who always had a beautiful smile, let me be very clear here so I don't make another mistake, but her veneers needed to be replaced, and she got a beautiful smile upgrade, not that she needed it, from Dr. Mike Veneria with beautiful caps. And her smile has never looked more beautiful. And my wife has always had a beautiful smile. Let me be very clear on that for the record. But now it's even more beautiful. If that was even possible, Dr. Mike will give your whole family beautiful dentistry, and you can trust them. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Reach out to him today and make your appointment. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. My guy, my dentist, and the undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria. Coming up, we are going to get into the entire issue with Mikey Sherrill and China. That's why China is impacting the betting markets. Don't doubt me on this. Straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Good song. Who is this anyway?
This is a Nirvana. This is what had happened was they Kurt Cobain recorded a demo tape in 85 called Fecal Matter, and on that was a song called Spank Through. And then bassist Chris Novoselic heard the song. He liked it. He went up to Kurt. He was like, hey, we should start a band. And then Nirvana happened after that.
So that was the origin story right there.
Yeah. And then this is a re-recording that Nirvana did in 88.
The one you just played?
Yeah.
You have the original?
I can pull it up.
Yeah. Very cool.
You want me to play it?
Please.
Let's see here.
Sean is helping us out today behind the board. He's got great taste in music.
So this is the original one by Fecal Matter.
Nirvana is a better name for a band.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Before they were Nirvana, they were Ted, Ed, Fred, and Bliss.
Is that Cobain?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. By the way, did you see that Nirvana baby lost his lawsuit?
It makes sense. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So the naked baby who was on the Nirvana album grew up and then sued. And a judge tossed it recently and said, you were not exploited. So get out of here. So that was the end of that case. But that went on for years, though, didn't it?
Yeah, I feel like I've been hearing about that for a while now.
the Nirvana baby. I know it was just decided by a judge recently. Like, I think I saw it a week or two. Yeah, here it is, October 2nd. Nirvana baby loses legal case over the Nevermind album cover. The man who was photographed as a baby on the cover of Nirvana's classic album Nevermind has failed in his attempts to sue the band for distributing child pornography. Four-month-old Spencer Eldon was pictured swimming naked underwater in the 1991 LP's famous cover. He sued the rock band and photographer Kirk Weddle, but a judge has ruled that neither the pose, focal point, setting, nor overall context suggested the album cover features sexually explicit conduct. A lawyer for Nirvana said, "We are delighted the court has ended this meritless case and freed our creative clients of the stigma of false allegations." You can see his little pishkadoo on the top of the on the album, though, you know, like the Superman baby. I wonder if that guy ever sued. Now they'll just use AI for this stuff, so they won't have actual babies anymore. But in Superman, the movie, you can see his little pishkadoo when he gets into the spaceship to go back to Earth. Same thing in Man of Steel. I show his little pishkadoo. Mr. Eldon originally filed a lawsuit in 2021, arguing that his identity and name were forever tied to the commercial sexual exploitation he experienced as a minor, which had been distributed and sold worldwide. His name tied to it. Nobody even knew who the hell he was. Like, how was he going to walk into a bank and people go, "Oh my God, you're the Nirvana baby. Holy cow. I recognize your junk." How would anyone know that he's the Nirvana baby, DeSantis?
I have no idea. I wasn't even aware of this story, so I didn't know.
And never mind the fact that he's recreated the image multiple times as an adult.
He has?
Oh yeah, he's redone that photo shoot at like a half dozen times since he's become an adult.
So he can't be that upset by it if he's doing it. I'm guessing making money on it.
Yeah, at least.
Hey, I know you. Weren't you that baby in the pool on the 1991 LP of Nevermind? Not me. I get that all the time. People confuse me with that baby all the time. It's because of my pishkadoo. U.S. District Judge, I can't believe this even went to court. U.S. District Judge Fernando O'Quinn dismissed the case in 2022 because Mr. Eldon submitted it after the 10-year limit for filing a civil case. This is why unnecessary lawsuits like Linda Kern's lawsuit against me with Matt DeSantis need to be tossed immediately, because these things are absolutely 100% what we call frivolous. That's why. However, Judge Olguin has now ruled that beyond the fact Mr. Eldon was naked, nothing came close to bringing the image within the ambit of the child pornography statute. He likened the image to a family photo of a child bathing and said it is plainly insufficient to support a finding of child pornography. Nudity must be coupled with other circumstances that make the visual depiction lascivious or sexually provocative, wrote the judge. The judge also cited factors including the presence of Mr. Eldon's parents at the photo shoot, the fact that the photographer was a friend, and the fact that he had previously embraced and financially benefited from being featured on the album cover. That's to Sean's point over there. Now, his legal team told Rolling Stone they respectfully disagree with the decision and plan to appeal. As long as the entertainment industry prioritizes profits over childhood privacy, consent, and dignity, we will continue our pursuit for awareness and accountability, said James R. Marsh of the Marsh Law Firm. Look, I'm not a big fan of seeing kids' junk on albums, and I'd be fine if we didn't do that. But as far as consent goes, his parents would have had the ability to make the consent for him at that point. So if anything, he should sue his parents, right? Right, DeSantis? I mean, they're the ones who let his little, pishkadoo be on the album cover. Am I right? Matt?
Strange. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I agree. It's bizarre. I don't understand why you'd even want that on the album cover to begin with. And I don't know, as parents, why you would want to put your kid on the album. Nah. It's just, the whole thing is bizarre to me.
I mean, granted, it's a small pishkadoo, and the guy people may think he's got a small, but I mean, he's a baby. Like, you know, assuming it grew. Like, but that's the first thing I would say to him is I'd be like, "Hey, are you that Nirvana baby? Is it still the same size? Because I know there was shrinkage. You were in the pool."
My God.
What?
Just.
It shrinks like a frightened turtle, Sean. Like a frightened turtle. Well, thank you for getting me down that rabbit hole. Amazing. The most frivolous lawsuit besides Matt DeSantis' lawsuit that Linda Kearns is suing me for being
mean. That one is legitimate. That one, that one's going places. I'm going to be a very wealthy man.
Speaking of judges, Ted Cruz, by the way, wants one of them impeached. He's right about this. And he wants Judge Boasberg impeached. Absolutely. So here's Senator Ted Cruz. This is cut number 9, Sean, if you would.
Whole year, because Ted may destroy evidence and tamper with witnesses. That is BS. I hope somebody will look at that.
And just one tweak. The judge didn't say I may destroy evidence. The judge signed an order that says the court finds reasonable grounds to believe that such disclosure will result in destruction of or tampering with evidence, intimidation of potential witnesses, and serious jeopardy to the investigation. And that is utterly without basis in fact. There was no evidence to support that. If the prosecutor made that representation, the prosecutor perjured himself.
Amen.
And I'd bet $20 this judge cranked out an order like that for every single senator down up here. We just happen to have mine. But it's boilerplate. If you're a Republican, you're on the enemy's list. I find that you will destroy evidence. And so we're going to let the executive surveil you without Congress ever knowing about it.
Let me apologize to you.
Now, I agree with Senator Ted Cruz on this 100%. I also think that if the judge allows Linda Kearns' lawsuit against me to go forward, that judge should also be impeached and brought up and disbarred. So I'm just saying.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot coming out on the House Oversight Committee. I was glad to talk to Scott Perry about this. I didn't bring up Arctic Frost with Scott Perry for a reason. There's now a lot of legal issues around this, but the congressman was named as one of the people who was targeted in Arctic Frost. And the government went after him and spied on him and weaponized the government against him. And he's one of many Republican senators and congressmen where they were trying to find something, just something, anything they could possibly find. And it's outrageous. But I talked to him about the auto pen today, and the House Oversight Committee is getting really close now to naming names of people that should be indicted. I want to play a clip for you. This is part one of the House Oversight Committee. One of the guys in here. When I heard this, I had to stop it and replay it. He got paid $4 million. This is what I'm telling you right now. Politics is a whole lot more profitable than talk radio. I should have stayed in politics. This guy got paid $4 million as an advisor to Joe Biden. One of the guys you're going to hear here in this clip. Cut 10.
Was the number one issue in the campaign the president's fitness or his age?
That's Ron Klain, the White House chief of staff, who would not answer.
Did you ever see President Biden in a wheelchair? I do not recall ever seeing President Biden in a wheelchair.
And new information now on the people in his inner circle and how the cover-up actually operated.
Senior aides that worked here until just a couple months ago, the beginning of this year, manipulating an ailing president for their own gain.
How much were you paid for your role in the campaign in 2024?
Just a little bit short of $4 million.
I'm sorry, how much?
$4 million.
That's Michael Donilon.
You believed that the president should stay in the race. Your own financial stake in the matter was a factor in any way in your advice to the president.
I don't believe that.
And when it comes to President Biden's decline, the official word from Biden World about all these news stories is that nothing has been revealed this week that shows that President Biden was anything but an effective president.
Can we pause it for a second, please? Sean, if you could pause it. That was Neera Tanden, by the way, former White House secretary. Matt DeSantis, since I can't invoke, why don't you say what you just said?
I was saying, you mentioned Ron Klain, the former White House chief of staff, perhaps most famous for insulting one of your Fox News appearances on X.
Yes, he did.
I think he called you unhappy with the Biden administration's economic performance, or a whiner or something to that effect.
Now, just for the record, I did not bring up a Fox News appearance. Matt DeSantis did, just for the record. And I didn't ask him to.
I'll take the blame on this one. This is me.
Yeah, and I didn't ask him to, and I'd totally forgotten about that. So thank you for reminding me. But yes, the White House chief of staff took a shot at me on X for my appearance on that said channel. So
they even took a picture of you too.
Yeah, it was a screenshot of it. You don't have that.
No, it wasn't even a screenshot. It was creepier. A screenshot, you know, that kind of makes sense. This was just like him watching TV. He took a photo of it with his phone and then posted it.
Right. That's bizarre. Like he was just sitting there and just maybe he's the one that wrote that card to me earlier today. It's very possible. He's obsessed with me.
That would be awesome.
Former White House chief of staff Ron Klain is obsessed with me. You don't happen to have that tweet, do you, or a screenshot of it?
I think I can find the tweet pretty easily. The issue is that once he left the White House, Jeff Zients took control of the account. So now if it pops up, it'll just appear as though he was the one that tweeted it and not Ron Klain, even though it was Klain.
Right.
Here I have it. I'll send it to you right now.
Can we put it up in the YouTube chat?
Yeah, I should be able to do that.
I did not say Fox again. I didn't. Matt did, Manglemush. I didn't say it. Matt said it. Not me. I purposely didn't say Fox. And I've not even plugged my appearances yet for next week. Monday.
Which day is it?
I didn't say anything. What? Monday. Okay.
Was that a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Just clearing my throat. My buddy Sean Erland pointed it out. I'm clearing my throat a lot today. A lot going on. So, allergies. Oh, Gavin Newsom. Yeah. He's all over the place. Telling his story about his hustling to pay his bills. He's on with John Carl. Got all these things. Can you, Matt, do you have that?
Gavin Newsom clips?
No, the tweet.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm airdropping it to myself right now. I'm going to share it in the YouTube chat in a second.
In a second, you own day. But, you know, in the meantime, let me play this clip of Gavin Newsom for you. He thought Biden was fantastic. This is cut 14 from, I think it was John Carl he was talking with, cut 14.
And we'll continue to build on the legacy, I would argue, of our former president, who I think was one of the most successful presidents in the last century, and that is Joe Biden. And I will defend that till my grave. in terms of the CHIPS and Science Act, the infrastructure bill, the work he did on the IRA, the fact that he had a worker-centered industrial policy, and the fact that those are the right policies for this country.
They're all getting undone, right? I mean, everything.
A lot of them, but not, well, many aspects are being celebrated by the Trump administration as his.
You know what's amazing is that I've often thought Gavin Newsom looks like Christian Bale in American Psycho, the movie. I've often thought that. And I think I might have even said that once on a Saturday night show that is on a channel hosted by my friend Jimmy that I can't mention. But I think I might have even made that reference before, that he is American Psycho. And he reminds people of Christian Bale's character in that movie. And now John Carl's bringing it up with Gavin Newsom. And this is awkward. So he stole from me. Cut 15. Take a listen.
What do you make of all the Patrick Bateman talk?
I don't know, but
I mean, people say that you are like
you
American
serious?
Psycho. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, yeah. Like I said, new scum. I mean,
but even your friends like say this.
Oh, do they?
I'm
going to reevaluate my guest list.
There was a comedian that said a literal comic book villain from Central Casting, that's Patrick Bateman vibes. He definitely had someone killed or may have killed someone himself. I think he meant that in a.
I'm glad I still have some humor left. I mean, this is a rough business.
Yeah, it is.
This is a rough business, particularly if you're willing to fight.
Oh, man. I'm just saying. I think John Carl stole from me from one of the appearances on that network. I won't say on a Saturday night on a show I won't name, hosted by a friend of mine I'm not going to mention. Okay. And I feel like I should get residuals from the John Carl podcast, although I'm not sure that that's really... I don't think they're making much. I don't think the John Carl podcast is making much. I think the guy with his little pishkadoo in the Nirvana pool probably made a whole lot more than the John Carl podcast. I'm just saying. All right. Let's talk about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Cape May is beautiful in the fall, and we'll be there tomorrow, and it's going to be fantastic. A magical destination during the holidays. And the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey has everything you need to make this season unforgettable. From now through December 18th, 2025, enjoy a fabulous midweek fall escape. When you book a multi-night stay, you're going to receive 10% off your room rate plus resort credits. Good at Hemingway's restaurant and bar or the gift shop. Hemingway's is great. It's a beautiful place to be. You want to be there as well. No doubt about it. If you're planning a weekend getaway, don't miss the Grand Escape weekends. Perfect for couples or friends looking to reconnect, relax. It's never too early to plan your Thanksgiving or holiday break. The Grand is the perfect place for your ocean holiday. Christmas is also absolutely beautiful in December. Absolutely beautiful. You will love it there. I would love for you to be there. The Grand is the perfect place to host a wedding, baby and bridal shower with four ballrooms. They have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call my friend Caitlin. She was named 2025 South Jersey's Face of Weddings. Caitlin will help you plan the wedding of your dreams. Book direct with them for the best rates. Call 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550 or visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. And tomorrow we will be there live in person. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.